Growing up, this was always my favorite time of year. I say that with sarcasm because it meant that my mom was working 60 to 80 hours a week because she was an accountant. And so from the age of 4 or 5 years old, I knew exactly what tax season was, and I knew what April 15th meant. It meant mom could finally be home for dinner. This season, for so many, is filled with times of anxiety and pressure, especially as we get our tax returns back and it says, you owe this much, right? Or maybe it's a time of celebration that you get a refund back. But either way, at the end of the day, you look at this large number on the bottom of your form that says, you gave this much of your hard-earned dollars to the state and federal government for certain purposes. And often when I see that number, I think, did this provide in the way that I feel like it should? Anybody else ask that question? Yeah. This is the time of year where we start to ask some of those questions. As we enter into our story this morning, the Pharisees begin to ask Jesus some questions about taxes. But before we get to this moment, we're starting into our time of Holy Week, right? And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the triumphal entry, when Jesus came into Jerusalem and the people waved their palm branches and shouted, Hosanna, which means save us, right? They said, Hosanna, son of David, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The people were looking for a savior because they were under the thumb of Rome. And in this season of Passover, they sought liberation. And they knew that liberation came from one place, from God through Jesus Christ. They were looking for a savior. And then Jesus goes into the temple, right? This is where we were last week. And Jesus gets angry because they're just going about their daily task. And Jesus is like, hey guys, wake up. Stuff's happening out there. Open your eyes to see the hurting in the world. And Jesus gets mad and he starts throwing over tables. Now, Jesus isn't arrested, right? Although I'm pretty sure if somebody came into our church and started throwing over tables, we talked about this last week, right? Ryan, who was here last week, would probably arrest them and take them off. But Jesus wasn't, because the Pharisees, as much as they wanted him dead, as much as they wanted this problem gone and out of the way, they were scared of him. Because just moments before, people were shouting in the streets, Son of David, save us. Blessed are you who comes in the name of the Lord. They were scared of who this guy was and the message he brought. So if you keep reading on in Matthew, after Jesus disrupts the temple, it says cleanses the temple, he starts to heal people that come in. And who do they get mad about that? This is not the time to cleanse people and heal people in the temple. What are you doing? And so Jesus goes off and he spends the night in Bethlehem. And he returns the next day to the temple. And somehow there weren't armed guards outside ready to haul him off. I'm not sure how. But Jesus is able to come back into the temple and Jesus keeps teaching. And he tells several parables. He tells the parable of the two sons. He tells the parable of the wicked tenants, the parable of the wedding banquet. And then he comes to this lesson about taxes. Now, as I said before, this is something that we're all talking about, right? A little bit. Especially right now, because we're in tax season. Especially because it's an election year, right? How often do you hear candidates talk about what they're going to do with taxes? I promise I'm going to raise taxes. I promise I'm going to lower taxes. I promise I'm going to use tax dollars to do X, Y, or Z. And I'm sure everybody in this room has a different opinion about what that looks like, right? Probably. Maybe you think that your way is right. I don't know. I'm sure I think that. But we all have differences of opinions, but we're all talking about it. And we're even more concerned about it even now as we're in the midst of a global pandemic, wondering how people are going to get paychecks and how our medical staff is going to be able to solve this problem and where our funding is going to go to be able to find a cure or a vaccine or a treatment. Is this money being used in a way that's going to help the most people? And so we keep asking these questions. But in Jesus' time, the question of taxation in the first century was even a little more difficult to answer than it is right now. Because the taxes then didn't go to provide services for the people. It didn't go to staff your fire departments and your police departments and pave your roads and provide education for your kids. No, instead, the money just went to the empire. It all went to the emperor, right? And so the question that they ask isn't, should I pay taxes? Because they have to, right? That's not a choice. The question that they ask, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor? Now, when we come to this question, one of the things that I realized as I was reading the text is Jesus' answer doesn't actually matter. Because they're trying to catch him in a trap. Maybe this text is less about exploring what the right answer is. Maybe it's less about talking about taxes and do we pay them and how do we vote and what we should do about our tax dollars. Maybe it's more about the way Jesus approaches authority and how Jesus calls us as the church to respond with everything that we are, especially our money. So when we come into this text, it says at the very beginning, the Pharisees went because Jesus had been teaching, right? He told all of these parables. And so he starts teaching. And they get mad about it because they don't like the answers he's giving because it pushes against everything that they think and they know. It pushes against their power and authority. So it says the Pharisees, they go out and they plot to entrap him. Because they realize they can't take him down. Because the crowds love him, right? So they're going to entrap him and turn the crowds against him. Now, if we know anything about what happens by the time Holy Week ends, what do the crowds do? They shout, "Crucify him," right? Eventually, the crowds turn. But right here at this beginning point, the crowds are still with him, and so the Pharisees are plotting. And so they start off, and they try to flatter Jesus a little bit. They say, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and that you teach the way of God in accordance with truth. And you show no deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality." They are trying to build him up, aren't they? When I was a classroom teacher, I had students who tried to flatter me often, right? On the corner of my test, they would be like, "Ms. O'Brien, you're just so nice." And then I knew why, because their next answer on the test, I was like, "Do you even know how to count to 10? Right? Like, because they didn't know what they were doing. And it would make me so angry. And then I would see this sweet note. And I was like, "Aw, they really want an A, F, right?" I don't know, maybe the elementary school teachers are nicer in the room. No. But flattery is something we do, especially in the case of these Pharisees, because they are trying to catch Jesus and trying to trap him. And I often wonder how much we are like the Pharisees in this moment. I know that we don't have necessarily malice intent often like the Pharisees do. Obviously, their intentions are to really get Jesus into trouble so they can get him out of the way. But sometimes I wonder, do we try to flatter and please God by coming to worship on Sunday mornings just so we can get by doing what we want the rest of the week? Do we flatter the world and say, yes, we love Jesus and wear our cross necklaces and our Jesus and coffee t-shirts? Fi, that's not directed at you. I know you have a coffee t-shirt. I don't know if it says Jesus, but do we wear those things like that so we can show off for God instead of showing up for God? Instead of actually living out who God is calling us to be and what God is calling us to do. Sometimes I think I'm super guilty of this. I get an easy out, right? When people say, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I'm a pastor. So they automatically make all sorts of assumptions about who I am. And I don't have to prove it, right? Because I just have that title. So I must somehow be righteous, right? Probably not. We flatter Jesus, but are we really willing to accept the answers that Jesus gives us? So we come into this place where they ask the question, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? And the reference is probably to the head tax based on Roman census information. But Jesus has a problem, you see, because he can say one of two things. No, it's not lawful, or yes, it is lawful, right? And if he says, don't pay your taxes, he's going to get crucified right in that moment, right? Because that is against the law of Rome. You have to pay your taxes. So Jesus can't say, no, don't pay them. But he also can't say, of course, it's lawful to pay your taxes, because that's going to alienate large groups of people. It's going to alienate those for whatever reason think that Rome is there illegitimately. It's going to alienate all of the people who are fighting for freedom, all of the groups who don't want to be under Roman oppression. So Jesus is in a tough spot, right? Have you ever been in a tough spot, like you don't know how to answer a question because you're going to alienate one group or another? I feel like sometimes we live in that world right now because everything seems so partisan. How do we navigate where we are? You're going to make somebody angry. You're going to shut somebody out. And Jesus is about bringing people together, right? Jesus is about building community. And so it's hard for him to know what to say. Except Jesus is a great teacher. Kids didn't just try to flatter me when I taught school. They also tried to test me a little bit. Anybody else have ornery kids that teach? Or just know ornery kids in general? Right? They like to see you mess up a little bit, right? Right? Because you're supposed to be the one in charge. You're supposed to know what you're talking about. And they try to trick you. And sometimes they succeed. But Jesus is a master teacher. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus knows what to say. And he says, first, he says, why are you putting me to the test? And if we look at that word test, it means trial or temptation. And from the very beginning of the Gospels, when Jesus is sent out into the desert, Satan tries to tempt him, right? And what does he say in response? Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus is making it very clear that what they are doing is not okay. Do not put Jesus to the test. Why are you trying to bring him down? You should be trying to build him up. So Jesus says, well, give me the coin. Now, you don't see Jesus handling money very often, do you, in the Gospels? Jesus talks about money, but he doesn't really touch money all that often. Jesus uses other means to help heal and free people. But he takes the coin and he says, whose head's on this? Whose title? And they said, it's the emperor's. And he says, therefore give to the emperor what is his, and give to gods the things that are God's. This is the choice that we have today. What do we give to empire? What do we give to the world? And also, what do we give to God? So is it lawful to pay our taxes? Well, yes, right? Do we pay our taxes? Well, yes. I'm not going to tell you don't. Because I don't want to see the IRS seizing your bank accounts. I am not going to be responsible for that, okay? But the question is, how do we discern where God is calling us to give? As we enter this season of Lent, as we continue to put ourselves in the story, I think it's important to think about what do we do with our resources. Not just our money, but also our time, our talents. What do we do with the blessings that God offers us? Because every time I read this answer that Jesus speaks, he says, give to the emperor what is the emperor's, and give to God's what is God's. And I'm like, isn't everything God's? Yes, it is. And so are we storing up things for ourselves, or are we giving things to the kingdom of God? Are we truly being transformed by the gospel and shaped into the people God is calling us to be? Are these new lessons that God is offering, do they help to shape us into new people? So I don't know the answer to the questions that the Pharisees pose, because Jesus kind of gives a smart aleck answer, right? But I do know that God is calling us to something greater, to something bigger than ourselves, so that we can help shape and grow God's kingdom for all the world. Let's pray. God, in this time and in this place, I give you thanks. I thank you for who you are and who you call us to be. God, I thank you for allowing us to take a moment and to pause and to sit with this story, to think about how you call us to use our resources, to ensure, oh God, that we are glorifying you in every decision that we make. That we would help to shape and to transform the world. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.